You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Charles, thank you so much. We always appreciate you joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate your patience with me. Hope you guys are well. And, you know, we've spent the entire off season wishing everyone to be safe. Right, take care of yourselves. You know, a lot of people have gone through a lot of things, but it's fun to finally say happy football season.
Yes, it is, Charles. I mean, I know we're pumped. Jeff and I have been. I mean, we're all about game week right now because we're ready for a game. What I mean, this is going to be an interesting game, and we're trying to figure out. A lot of people have said, look, I mean, it's a huge disadvantage for Kevin Stefanski. No preseason games, a lot of Zoom call meetings, not a lot of time with his team going up against a team that, you know, was one of the dominant teams in the NFL last year in week one. Your thoughts on this thing?
No, I like the way that you posed that, because it's something we may not think about as much, you know, now that we're in the excitement of game week. You know, we're just like, God, they're going to go play. This is great. But you're talking about Baltimore and their continuity. You know, same head coach, same staff, quarterback, right on down the line. And then the additions that they brought in were not wholesale changes. They were to plug holes where they had a little bit of trouble last year. What put them out of the playoffs was Derrick Henry putting 195 on them. So you bring in Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe and move Brandon Williams back to his right spot and draft the middle linebacker and Patrick Queen. So not wholesale changes. With Cleveland, I don't think there are a ton of wholesale changes as much as here we go with new leadership again. Do you buy into your new head coach? Do you buy into your new general manager? I have to tell you, from afar, I'm extremely encouraged for one reason, and I think it's a significant reason. Boy, it was quiet coming out of Cleveland this offseason. And I thought that was terrific, because I thought last year was just way too much chatter. Just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you saw how that turned out. I'm not saying talking means you don't play well. We've had plenty of people who have talked and backed it up. But for a franchise that has had the struggles that they've had, they just didn't need that. And I'll just admit it. And I said, look, I was on record. I didn't think Freddie Kitchens was the right guy to begin with. I just didn't see him as being that head coach that that team needed. Unfortunately, in a lot of ways, you could say I was right about that. I think Kevin Stefanski, much more in line with what I think this team needs. You know, a person who's got that demeanor, carries with him the confidence to deal with the guys the way he needs to deal with them and deal with them individually in a team context. I'm very encouraged by this Cleveland Browns team because I think it's a good roster.
Charles, are you encouraged that ownership will give this current management regime more than a year? Like, what if they go out and they go 6-10 again?
That's one of the great questions, isn't it? And I can't answer that one. I really can't. I would hope so. Truthfully, I believe a lot of that will be borne out by how we see them play, the organization of this team, the crispness of game in, game out, looking the part. Would I be wrong to say you guys are close observers and I have not seen Cleveland in person in a while? Okay. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, I go back to like 2010. Last time I did a Browns game, now maybe it's a little bit later than that, but anyway, maybe 14. All I'm saying is you guys are closer to it. Did that team not look disorganized a number of times last year? Did it not look like, wow, what's the play call? Are we in the right formation? Can we get this thing done? Just seemed like too much of that. I think you'll see a lot less of that with this regime. I truly do, and I think that these players were thirsty for this group to come in, give them a little bit more direction. And let's face it, last year this time, they were the talk of the town. They were the talk of the league. This year, not many people discussing them. And again, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's good too. I think, you know, we've talked about it time and time again. How could a team look so good at the beginning of a game with scripted plays and then all of a sudden just like
gone,
melt? Like, you know, just like they melted like butter right after that. It was just crazy. And they're just like, I can't understand what we're watching here. What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield, though, going into this thing? Because, you know, we've seen a tale of two Bakers. We saw the first season, then we saw what happened last year.
I'm much more in line with what I think you saw as a rookie than what you saw last year. I just think that for him, and I do not want to come off as an apologist, right, in any sense of the word, but second year in the league, the same thing I talked about with the team overall, but Baker was the face of it, you know? And look, I've had people want to pile on about commercials and this, that, and I was like, whoa, 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 stop. Just stop. If any of us were in that position, they came to us with a seven-figure commercial campaign, who among us is saying no? Right?
Not me.
Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody's saying no. So just stop, okay? Don't pile on him for that. That wasn't it. Doing the commercials had nothing to do with how it all went, but it just allowed people to jump in on him for extra reasons. That team did not have, as I said, the right leadership to begin with. The expectations maybe too high, but they just didn't handle them very well. Plus, you had some other things that kicked in as well, injuries, other things. You saw how Baker handled the offseason. I thought it was terrific. Not just being quiet, but going to work. Kevin Stefanski going to Austin, Texas to meet with him to forge a relationship right out of the gate. And I will guarantee you that Kevin told him at dinner, this is what I expect. This is how I think we work best together. And Baker's grasped onto that. The same young man that I saw, and I remember this well because I have relatives who are Oklahoma fans, and they were really fired up about their quarterback at the time, young man had transferred to Texas A&M. And I said, yeah, well, this Mayfield kid, he's going to beat out your quarterback. And they were like, what? I said, I know this kid. He's going to grab that team just by sheer force of personality plus great play. And he did all of that. That young man, I think, will show up again this year. I really do. I just think there was so much last year where, you know, being the face of the franchise, the spokesman for everything, things melting down around him. Plus, you know, I think there was an endorsement, obviously, of Freddie Kitchens. And then there just wasn't – Freddie wasn't up to the task in terms of being a head coach. And I just think that, you know, all that gets washed away. But let's not forget this for this guy. Four coaches in 3 years, including interim. How many offensive coordinators? How many people telling them this, this, and this? It's like a golfer with eight swing coaches. It doesn't work. I think that now he'll have direction, and he'll get back to being Baker Mayfield.
Charles, we just had Kevin Stefanski's press conference, and he was asked about play calling, and he said he's not going to say anything yet. Tell us the advantage that can give a team, or is there no advantage at all, and does it matter who's calling the plays if you have the personnel to pull it off?
Oh, it matters who's calling the plays because that play caller has to develop that sync with their, you know, quarterback and team, feel, know when to call certain things, how to set certain things up. For all the criticism, again, of Kyle Shanahan with two Super Bowls, one as an offensive coordinator, one as a head coach where they had leads and let them get away, how often do we talk about and marvel at the play calling, the setting up, the things that he does? Plus, what I like about him is he has no ego as a play caller. What I mean by that is, how about San Francisco down the stretch last year? When they just ran over people, did you see him reaching for that play card and saying, okay, where's my favorite pass play here because I got to look like a genius? No, they just kept running over people. So those are the things you look for. That's why I do think it is important that person has that personality, that verve, that being able to get in sync with their quarterback. The quarterback can feel it. The team can feel it. So I don't think just anyone can do it, even with great personnel. And that's what we're going to find out with Cleveland.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, if you had keys to the game for Sunday, what would they be?
I think bottom line, and it's going to sound really trite to begin with, but we always talk about coming out of preseason where starters didn't play and who can be mistake-free and less sloppy. How about factoring that by, what, 100 this year?
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know, right? So can Cleveland do the things as part of their personality, which Kevin Stefanski did in Minnesota very well, run the football, establish that. Remember how they beat Baltimore down last year? I don't expect that but still being able to consistently run it, which allowed Baker off of the stretch plays to get to the boots, to get to the, you know, the sprint passes, to get to the things that they're going to want to do off of play action, and get Odell Beckham going early. Get him involved early. Get him a big play. Throw it up there and let him go get it. Show he's fully healthy and back and ready to be an integral part of this thing, because let's face it, when he's at the top of his game, he's breathtaking at times. And this gives him a chance to get back there. And I just think that defensively, they've talked about, and everyone wants to weigh in on, is Lamar Jackson running it too often? Wherever you want to weigh in, that's fine. But considering no one's tackled anyone truly live, if I'm Baltimore, I'm making sure he's running the heck out of it early. I want to find out if people can get him down in the open field. It's hard enough to get him down in the open field when everyone's at their best. How about an off season where no one really practiced tackling people like that, where you didn't have that live hitting and all of that? I would not shy away from keeping Lamar Jackson as a big part of my run game if I'm Baltimore.
Charles, how about you? How about CBS? How are you guys going to televise the game, broadcast the game? Are there big changes, or are you just showing up in a booth without very many other people around?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like for the public. I think you kind of nailed it on the second part. We're still going to work like we always do. There may be less people around, right? There'll be less people in the stands, that's for sure. The audio, we'll adjust to that as we go along and see how that part works out for everyone. But the rest of it is we're in the same boat as the players with less overall pressure. You know, we have to bring our own energy to the game, right? There's no one there that's going to pump you up and, you know, scream defense at you and all that, and all of a sudden you ride that wave. We have to ride the rhythms of the game like everyone else and do our jobs. So I don't expect much different other than the fact that you'll know people aren't there and all the other stuff that goes along with it. But I did watch BYU-Navy a little bit there. Did any of you guys see that at all? You know, no one's in the crowd and what have you, and they really had a lot more sound from the sidelines that you heard, you know, it is like you were watching a big-time scrimmage, except it counted. I don't know how that's going to play, but we may get a little bit more of that. Who knows? We'll see.
It'll be fun, and it's going to be interesting, and I got to tell you, every eye in Cleveland is going to be glued to you. So Charles Davis from CBS Sports on the call with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn Sunday on CBS. Thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you, and now I'm really nervous. You just hit me with that one. I got to go lie down now. You guys take care, all right?
All right, don't worry about it. Not every eyeball. There might be some wild.
Oh,
you know what?
Goodness.
I'm sorry. Everyone will be watching on Sunday. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.